Well, good morning. It is so good to be back with you all. I have missed you. And I know you're probably thinking, we missed you, but I have missed you. And I'm thrilled over what I hear all the time and what I see happening around here, and just praise the Lord for you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Matthew 16. Yesterday I was sitting around the house watching TV, and it just hit me that there's only one service today. And so I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, that's not right. And so I went to my phone and started looking at my text messages, and could not find the text message that Adam had sent me about today. So I sent Tim a text message, and I said, is it only one service? And he finally got back with me, and he said, no, it's two services. I said, okay. And I was thinking this morning, if I hadn't showed up, Tim would have had to preach. Aren't you glad I showed up? Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered him, and he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied to Simon Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this time that we have together. May you use this word to speak to our life. May we leave here in a better condition than when we showed up here. And Father, may you get glory for everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 20, verse 31, the Bible says, These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Now, Jesus had spent about 2 years with the disciples, and he had been training his students. He had been teaching them and helping them to understand what the kingdom of God was all about. He warned his students in verse 6 there in Matthew 16. He told them to be careful. He told them to be on your guard. And he said to be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, at first, they didn't get that. They didn't understand what he was talking about. They thought that the yeast he was talking about had to do with bread. Now, I sat down, Miss Nettie, this week, and I said, all right, tell me about yeast once again, because I don't cook. I don't do nothing in the kitchen, all right? I do wash a dish every now and then. But I don't like the kitchen, all right? And so I don't go in there. I didn't understand yeast completely. And I had her tell me, because I remember she used to make these yeast rolls. Now that it's just me and her, she goes and buys rolls, all right? But she used to make these yeast rolls, and she shared with me all about yeast and what yeast would do and all that. And the disciples, when they heard the word yeast, they thought he was talking about bread. But he was not talking about bread. He was talking about the false teaching that the religious leaders were propagating during that day. He was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their false teachings that they were giving out. Verse 12, he declared to them and said to them that he was not talking about the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, one of the things I understand about yeast is small amounts of yeast applied to a substance permeates it and it influences the substance. Just a small amount can go a long ways. Now, the thing about yeast is that it doesn't take much to bring effect or change. Now, what Jesus was saying, that this false teaching that you're hearing all over the place, if it continues to go and if you allow it to come into your mind and your heart, then it will cause change in your life. And let me tell you, that change is not for the good. And it will create havoc in your life. Now, can I tell you that today we need to be careful, because there is a lot of false teaching in our world. And before you know it, it will cause chaos and it will cause havoc throughout our nation. The other night, I sat and listened for 3 nights to our Republican National Convention. I sat and listened to these guys. And I thought to myself many, many times throughout different people speaking, that's not true. That's not true. And I wasn't talking about the truth of what you were saying you did or you can do or you can't do or nothing like that. I was talking about the truth when they started referencing things like God, the Scripture, the all-inclusiveness toward heaven. And I thought, it only takes a little bit to permeate a group of people and create a false doctrine. And we see that throughout our world, not just in political rallies. We see it in the church. And we must be careful. Jesus said, be careful. Be warned against the yeast. By itself, yeast, not much happens. But when you add it to other ingredients, it's activated and it unleashes its power. Now, Jesus said in verse 13, well, he carried his disciples to the regions of Caesarea Philippi, and that was a wicked place. It was full of false doctrine. And he carries his disciples there. They're surrounded by the plurality of religions and pagan worship, which we are today. And they're surrounded. And as they're surrounded, the tide also has shifted against him. And now they're wanting to kill him. They're plotting his death, and they're ready to dispose of Jesus. They've heard about him. But Jesus said in verse 13 to his disciples, he said, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Who do the people say I am? The disciples thought for a moment, and then they began to answer his question. Now, this was a pretty easy question, because there was multitudes around and they were talking about Jesus because of his popularity. And every one of them had a different idea. Some said, John the Baptist. Now that's a pretty good answer. John the Baptist had been held in high honor by the people. And they thought that John the Baptist had come back to life. And so they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Now, hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Elijah exposed what was in human hearts. He performed miracles and inspired people. And since Jesus was able to do the same thing, some people thought that maybe he was Elijah. Some said Jeremiah. Now this prophet was known to speak boldly, and yet he mourned over the hardness of people's hearts. And the people had witnessed Jesus speaking boldly. And they also had witnessed his emotions when he wept over the people. Maybe this was Jeremiah. And then others could not decide, so they just said, one of the prophets. Now these are not bad answers. They're just not the right answers. We must understand who Jesus is. Who do people in our world say that Jesus is? What do they have to say about him? No one in this day was openly confessing that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. The disciples knew what others were saying, and they summarized it. Our culture today is just as confused about Christ as they were in the first century. I read this week where 56% of adults believe in Jesus. Now, do you remember a day and time when there was 95% of our nation believed in God? But when you draw it down to Jesus, 56% believe in Jesus. 25% believe that Jesus was a religious leader on the same level as Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, you name it. Wait a minute. That's kind of like today, is it not? What do we hear coming out of people's mouths? That it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. All roads lead to heaven. Hey, can I say to you real quickly, that's a lie out of hell. There's no truth in it. Not even a smidgen of truth. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except through me. Our culture is confused also. Universalism has swept our nation. It has swept our world. And one religion is as good as another, is the lie that we hear. Many years ago, I heard old gospel song, Southern gospel. Any Southern gospel fans? Heard a Southern gospel song. It went away pretty quickly. It's not politically correct. And I don't know where it's ended up, but I hadn't heard it in years. But the course of it says this. It won't be old Buddha who's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Muhammad that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. We're going to see the sun and not Reverend Moon. I want to tell you, it's all about Jesus. Who do the people say I am? But Jesus follows that up. Jesus expects us to know what others are thinking. And he expects us to know what we believe. The latter part is a hard question. A.W. Tozer said this, what comes into our minds when we think about Christ is the most important thing about us. Matthew 16:15, Jesus said, but what about you? What about you? Who do you say I am? Now, as I stand here today in front of you, that's the question you must answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you believe that he is? Simon Peter answered in verse 16. And he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, in that day and time, to call an ordinary man God would be blasphemy. And had not the disciples shared that conviction that Peter spoke, then they would have had to kill Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. His answer is very specific in the Greek. He repeats the word, the, four times. He said, you are the Christ, the Christ. Not a Christ, the Christ. You are the Messiah. Not a Messiah, the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. There's only one Son, and there's only one living God. And so his answer was very specific. You are the Christ. Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Now the name Christ is the official title of Jesus. Throughout Scripture, it occurs 520 times in the New Testament. It means that he was anointed as the Messiah and Savior. There were three types of people who were anointed in the Old Testament: prophets, priests, and kings. And in Jesus, we find all three of these. He is our prophet, he is our priest, and he is our king. Jesus, you are the Messiah. The Bible says Jesus is the Savior. He's the deliverer. He's the redeemer. God's Word. He is Jesus. He is the victor. He is the overcomer. He is the conqueror. He is the one who physically rose from the grave. He is the one who has defeated sin and death. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. He is Jesus. Peter had the courage to confess Christ in a pagan setting. He was willing to give a view that was contrary to the climate of the culture. In verse 18, the scripture says that Jesus spoke to Peter and He said, "I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, let's air the confusion real quick. He didn't say, "Peter, I'm building my church upon you." He didn't declare a pope or anything at this moment. What He was saying was, "I'm going to build my church upon the gospel fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's the declaration for the church. Listen, every church around should post those words over their door as people come in. It's the declaration of the church. If the church is not a Jesus church, it's failed to be a church. The most important thing we can say is that our church believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He also said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, don't get confused. That don't mean we ought to run into the church and shut our doors and act as if it's a fort. This is actually an offensive term. We should be attacking hell. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. There is nothing in hell that's stronger than the church of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not because of me. It's not because of Tim. It's not because of you guys. It's not because of Chris. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Who do you say Christ is? The question to you this morning. Who do you say He is? A man who was merely a man, C.S. Lewis said, and said the sort of things Jesus said, would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice, C.S. Lewis continued. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being just a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. So today, here, as we talk about Jesus and who he is to you, you can pronounce him as a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. How do you see him? How do you see Jesus? Is he Lord of your life? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you made that decision to follow him? Have you by faith come to him as your Savior? And if you have you understood that every morning as you get up out of your bed, he is Lord? When you go to sleep at night, he is Lord. Have you allowed him to be ruler of all of your life? Have you allowed him to lead you and walk with you and take you to the places that he desires and the purpose he has for you? Have you surrendered your all to Jesus? Too many people think that Sunday mornings is a routine. We get up, we get ready, we go to church. Why? Because that's what we've always done. Or because that's what my parents did. Or because I want to see somebody. I want to be there. Let me tell you. As believers, we are to stand upon the principle of Jesus Christ. And we are to live for him. Church needs to be alive, serving a living Lord, worshiping a living Lord, hearing the Word of God in our hearts. Where are you? What does he mean to you today? Who is he to you? Let's bow our heads. Father, right now I just pray for this time of invitation. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in this place that has never given their life to Jesus Christ, that today would be the day for them to know him. God, I pray for people in this room who know him as their Savior, but for some reason, somehow, they just haven't been serving him, haven't been worshiping him. They know they need to surrender all to him. God, I pray for them right now. And I pray your will be done in their life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, in just a moment as we sing, Chris is down here at the front. You step out and you come down here and you just tell him, I want to know Jesus. He'll know how to help you. Maybe you know Jesus, but you haven't completely surrendered your life to him. Maybe you need to come and kneel at this altar. Maybe there's an area of your life that you need to surrender back to him. Would you be faithful to do what it is that God desires to do in your life?